Speaking to a breakfast audience at the National Press Club, Welsh said even with the partial relief from sequestration DOD got from last year's bipartisan budget act, the Air Force still needs to find ways to trim its budget by billions of dollars. The Air Force says it's shrinking its end strength as quickly as it can as one means to save money. But Welsh argues the only way to find savings of the magnitude the Air Force has to is to divest itself of entire aircraft platforms.
Even with the balanced budget agreement, it's important to remember that the reason this seems so dramatic to people is that 3 years ago in FY12, if I just pick a year out, the projected budget for FY15 for the Air Force was $20 billion higher than we actually have in our budget. That's about 20% of our overall budget. And so changing from a plan even 3 years ago that had projected funding and training and force structure at that level to one that is going to be $20 billion a year lower from here forward is a significant adjustment. That's why the changes seem so dramatic. But if they're not done, it'll get worse in the future. It's hard to make a $20 billion reduction per year without making some significant change. And so trimming around the edges as we put together our budget proposal just wasn't going to work. We had to look at some pretty dramatic things.
Among them, the retirement of the entire fleet of A-10 attack jets. The Air Force says simply trimming down the size of its aircraft inventory across the board wouldn't produce the savings it needs because eliminating fleets outright also cuts out the huge logistics and maintenance infrastructure that accompanies each aircraft type. The A-10 decision in particular has brought fierce opposition from members of Congress, particularly ones whose districts include A-10 bases. But Welsh says that decision alone will save the service $4.2 billion per year, and there aren't many other ways to save that kind of money. And none of them are pretty.
We also looked at saving $4.2 billion by cutting F-16s out of the fleet. It would take about 363 F-16s to do that. That's 14 squadrons of F-16s. We could cut the F-15E fleet. We could cut the entire B-1 fleet. We could push F-35s outside the future year's defense plan and buy them later. Which drives costs in lots of other areas, by the way. But we could do that. And we could just ground a whole bunch of squadrons today and make it look like last year on our flight lines with airplanes parked and nobody flying. So we looked at all those options. We took each one independently, and we ran it through an operational analysis, a very detailed operational analysis, with the tools we use for all our typical war planning in the Department of Defense against the standard DOD scenarios. And we came very clearly to the conclusion that of all those horrible options, the least operationally impactful was to divest the A-10 fleet. That's how we got there. It's not emotional. It's logical. It's analytical. It makes eminent sense from a military perspective if you have to make these kind of cuts. Nobody likes it.
Welsh says the Air Force did not come to its aircraft retirement decisions lightly. In the run-up to the 2015 budget submission, he says the service scoured all five of its core mission areas for things it could do without or with less of. In each case, officials concluded they could not cut any deeper without crippling those core missions. But Welsh says those are exactly the cuts that would have to be made if Congress blocks the A-10 stand down.
Air superiority is foundational to the way we fight wars as an American military. Without it, you can't maneuver on the ground, you can't maneuver at sea, you have to have it. And all of our warfighters know that. And so only one service can provide a theater's worth of air superiority. Only one has the capacity, the command and control capability to be able to do this. When we capped the buy of F-22s, it meant that we had to support them with some other kind of airplane to provide a theater's worth of air superiority. And for the near term, until the F-35 is on board and able to assist, it's the F-15C. Now, we are cutting F-15s out of our fleet this year as part of the budget cuts. But we can't eliminate the entire fleet of aircraft, or we can't do the air superiority mission, and our combatant commanders won't accept that.
Nor would they accept cuts in the area of intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, Welsh says.
But if you ask the combatant commanders, their number one shortfall, year after year after year, is ISR capability. We are already taking ISR capability in this budget. We're cutting every mission area, but they would not support us cutting any more than we already have projected. So maybe we could take it out of global mobility, cut our airlift fleets. Well, we talked about that. I talked to Ray Odierno, Chief Staff of the Army, and said, okay, we're getting smaller. You're going to get smaller as well. Can we cut our airlift fleet more than we've planned to kind of align with that fleet's that force size for you? And he said, we're going to be smaller. We need to be more flexible. We need to be more agile. No, I wouldn't support you cutting the airlift fleet.
The Air Force did decide that if sequestration stays in effect past 2015, it would have to make some cutbacks in the area of aerial refueling. Cuts, it says, would be manageable, but far from ideal. Welsh says that's another area that needs to be protected. But if the automatic budget cuts aren't abolished, the Air Force would ask Congress to do away with the entire fleet of KC-10 tankers.
In the analysis, it showed us that you could get rid of the KC-10 fleet. It would be less impactful than getting rid of the KC-135s, because if you take three times as many KC-135s, you flat can't do the job anymore. Without the KC-10s, you could, but it would be ugly, and you would not have any flexibility whatsoever. We finally decided the impact of that was just too big on all the services and the combatant commanders compared to other options that we looked at. So airlift wasn't a good place to go. So command and control, maybe we can cut systems there. The only service that can do command and control on a theater scale is the Air Force. Missile defense, air operations, ISR activity, whatever it might be, nobody supports cutting that further.
In the end, Welsh says, the Air Force decided it's already taking more risks than it would like to in funding for each of its mission areas, and that it can't afford to spend its resources on platforms that are dedicated to a single mission, when that same function could be performed by more multi-role aircraft.
If we took, for example, the A-10s that have all been re-winged in the last few years, we put new wings on the airplane as part of the continuation of the aircraft, if we kept those aircraft, just those, and divested the rest of the fleet, we'd save $1 billion. Because it's all the infrastructure that drives the big cost. So the difference between $1 billion and $4.2 billion is significant. That pays for half our flying hour program each year, for example. And so we just decided not to do that because we can't find billions of dollars of savings in many places in this budget. This is not about the A-10 not being a great airplane, not doing great work. It's about where can we take operational risk going forward. Where can we create savings, and how can we start transitioning the Air Force into thinking about the threat and the environment we will have to operate in 10 years from now? The A-10 will not be part of that solution in a high-threat environment. And what the budget is doing to us, I mentioned we're cutting capability in every mission area, it's eliminating our ability to have airplanes, systems, people who only operate in a single environment.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio.com and 1500 AM.